Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Thank you for being with me this morning. I'm Noni Needs. This is Rise and Shine at Petersfield Shine Radio. And my guest today is Kate Lord-Brown. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Noni. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I have to tell you, listeners, I am so pleased to be talking to Kate. Two things. I have known Kate for quite some time. Our children were little together and have grown up together, and they're now 19, our eldest. And she is a writer who started this novel in a Petersfield bookshop. And she's now an international best-selling author. I just had to say that. I'm so pleased to be talking to you this morning.
Oh, it's lovely to be with you.
So your new book is out and it's called...
It's called A Season of Secrets.
And it has been previously published as The Christmas We Met. Is that right? And so what's that all about?
That's right. Well, my lovely publishers, Orion, looked at the backlist and they thought this book needed to be retitled and rejacketed. So it's got a beautiful new cover. It's still the same story. So if anybody out there has already read A Christmas We Met, it's just been reissued. And it's lovely to see the book back out again.
Well, it's a beautiful book. Can I talk a bit about you before we get to your book?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I'm going to tell you that Kate, I'm going to save her blushes. So Kate's been, her book have been published all over the world, and she was a finalist in the ITV's The People's Author Contest, and you were a regional winner in the BBC's International Radio Playwriting Contest as well.
Uh-huh.
So you keep yourself pretty busy, Kate.
Yes, I do. I mean, I think writing's an incredible career. There's the old joke about the pram in the hall being a sort of obstacle, but I think it's absolutely the opposite, because I think books are built a sentence at a time, an hour at a time, and you can fit this in around family life, which I found a great help.
Yes, because you've as we've said, you've lived abroad and your husband's a pilot.
Yes.
And so he's always away. So you're running the home as well as writing. And you, as a writer, you're very busy with doing seminars and workshops as well as writing your books. I don't know how you fit it all in.
It's great. I mean, I love doing festivals and workshops because, a lot of writing's quite solitary and it's really training yourself to sort of sit and stay. it's a bit like training a puppy. You sort of sit and stay.
Talking about your dog now, are you?
Both.
It's
lovely. It's great just to get out from the desk and go out and meet readers and talk to people and hear how the books have affected them. And it's really interesting how often people just want to sit down and tell you their story, so how the story or how the novel relates to them. It's great. I love that side of the work.
And do you try and incorporate, talking to people, learning their stories, do they inspire you and influence your work so it completes that circle?
Oh, absolutely. I think inspiration is everywhere. You get sort of, Virginia Woolf called them diamonds in the dust heap, these little sort of sparks of inspiration that can set off a whole sort of years and years of research to get a novel together. Beauty Chorus, my first novel, was inspired by this tiny obituary that I saw in a flying magazine that I was doing the recycling, as you do. and I saw an obituary for a woman who'd flown Spitfires, and I thought, wow, that's incredible. I had no idea that women flew planes during World War II. And I was lucky enough to go to the archive and find out about these incredible women pilots and to speak to some of them. So I think that's the lovely thing about writing 20th century fiction, is it's all within touching distance, and these people who've lived through it are alive, and you can talk to them and get first-hand stories that you won't find in any history book.
I have to say, I love the Beauty Chorus. Book that was so inspirational to know that, these 166 women flew planes for the men during World War II, and they haven't really been recognised. Well, they have in recent times, haven't they?
Yeah. Finally, they were acknowledged and received awards at Downing Street, but it took a long, long time.
The fact that the pilots used to call them the Beauty Chorus. I mean, that's such an inspirational title as it is.
Yeah, and it's very tongue-in-cheek because, gosh, these women were incredibly brave and skillful pilots, far more than a sort of pretty face.
So let's get to A Season of Secrets. Gorgeous book set around Petersfield, everywhere from the Witterings to Winchester. Kate, tell me about what happens in the book. Tell me about the book.
Yeah, I mean, as we were saying earlier, I think, you know, inspiration is everywhere. And I was actually watching the Antiques Roadshow one evening on a Sunday, and this beautiful tiara came on with the jewellery expert, Geoffrey Munn, and it was a convertible tiara. So if you can imagine, the two wings of the tiara break apart so that you have these incredible diamond brooches. And as soon as I saw it, I began to wonder, you know, oh gosh, you know, what if the brooches were separated after they were made during World War One? And, you know, what could that story be? How could you get the brooches back together again? So it's like the tiara really encircles a sort of Cinderella tale that covers 100 years of history from World War One right up through to the end of the 20th century. And it brings in so much that I love. I mean, I loved living in Petersfield. And as we said, I started writing this book in the cafe at One Tree Books.
That's amazing.
balancing my notebook on the back of the pram, as you do, sort of squeezing in time to jot down notes. So it goes, as you said, sort of from Winchester all the way to Chichester and down to the Witterings. And I've fictionalised Petersfield, so in the book it's called Andrewsfield, because I think that gives you a bit of leeway to use your imagination. And
yeah.
You don't get people saying, hang on a minute, that street's not there, or there's no antiques market. Or
yeah, very important.
Know, yeah, you know, it's obviously based on Petersfield, which is a place that I love. So hopefully people will, you know, read it and recognise their home. And I loved writing it.
I liked the fact that it was amazing to me that this tiara, I've never heard of a tiara that was convertible. Convertible tiara.
No. It was... no, me neither. I mean, I suppose it makes sense, doesn't it? You don't have that many occasions, especially during lockdown, to wear a tiara. But, you know, you could pop a nice brooch on for a sort of day out or whatever. I loved it. And I was lucky enough to talk to Geoffrey Munn as well to get some sort of background information, because I knew nothing about fine jewellery at all. And, it, you know, I think that's the lovely thing. You're sort of constantly answering questions that you have as you're writing a novel. And hopefully people will find that really interesting as well.
And I like the fact that all these different jewels running through the book, you know, you're teaching us something all the time about what a different jewel means. You know, I obviously went and tried to find December, that's my birthstone, and found out that my birthstone was, you know, you'd think at 54 I'd know what my birthstone is, but I don't. So I looked and it was turquoise. And I,
yeah, which is lovely, isn't it? Prosperity, happiness and success.
Oh, thank you. You know, I will take that. Thank you very much.
There you go.
It's a lovely story, listeners. You listen, it's very uplifting, it's very warm, it's very intricate. It weaves its way through people's lives and relationships. But at the end of the day, I think it was a very beautiful story, and it's really lovely to read at this time when we're all locked down.
Well, hopefully, I mean, it's hopeful.
It's hopeful,
I think,
yeah.
It's always, I think it's important to have some sort of meat in the story. So it's about a woman who's in limbo, really. Her husband's gone missing. And I had no idea until I started researching the story that over 200,000 people a year are missing in the UK.
Wow.
And if a loved one goes missing, you can't start thinking about divorce until they've been missing for 5 years, and they can't be pronounced dead until they've been missing for 7. So this poor young woman who's, you know, lost everything, her home, her business, her husband, is in this sort of limbo state. And I think it's incredible to see a person trying to get back on their feet in a story. You know, hopefully that sort of really pulls people through.
I found it very inspiring. While, you know, while going through grief, uncertainty, financial worries, just finding a way through, and the kindness of other people as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love her grandmother's message, which is right at the beginning, which is, you know, fall down 7 times, get up 8.
Isn't that great? I've always loved that saying, so I gave that to Margot, because I think that, you know, that need for resilience is something that we can all relate to at the moment.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story, beautifully written, Kate.
Thanks, Noni.
I look forward to seeing you soon in Petersfield, because the last time was at Madeline's Kitchen on Lavant Street, having a coffee with the children and some cake.
Oh, can you imagine having a lovely coffee with friends? Won't that be great? I think we're all going to enjoy it so much, aren't we?
We so are. Oh, and if you want to find out more about Kate, you can go to her website, katelordbrown.com. And where is your book available from?
Book is available available hopefully at all good bookshops and online at Amazon. If you enjoy reading ebooks, it's on Kindle, and there's also an audiobook.
But listeners, if you want real treats, she's got a couple of other amazing books as well, The Beauty Chorus and The Perfume Garden, that I love both. And there's one more. Now, remind me of it.
There's also The House of Dreams, which was about an incredible man who was the artist Schindler, who rescued thousands of artists from occupied Marseille during World War II.
So, Kate, I want to talk to you about writing, because you can't just become a writer overnight. It's a very, very slow process, isn't it? You have to learn your craft.
You do, absolutely. I mean, it, you know, writing, it really is a craft. You know, I think the old saying that everybody's got a novel inside them, you know, the difference is most people, that novel stays firmly inside them because they don't sit down and actually write. You know, Hemingway called it the sort of five-finger exercises. It's like saying, you know, I want to learn the piano. And unless you actually sit down and you do those scales every day and learn your craft, you won't be able to play. But, you know, piece by piece by piece, it comes together.
Yes, and I've watched that over the years with you, because you started, I mean, I didn't know when I first met you were a writer. Yes, you'd written features and articles in various magazines, and but then you all of a sudden were writing this blog in 2008, I think, when you know,
back in the dark ages.
Yes.
It was like dial-up modems and clockwork internet.
Yes, when you had to have dial-ups, and it was like, she's writing a blog. And it was, you know, I was very proud that you were in the top 40 blogs in the world. Was it the world? Or
I mean, at the time.
At the time.
There weren't very many blogs around in those days.
I know, but it was phenomenal that you were doing this thing and your writing was so beautiful, and this little parcel of stuff would arrive on my email and I'd read it and it would have a lovely picture. It would be really joyous to read. So thank you for that.
It's a pleasure. I mean, it was fun. I think, you know, a big part of writing is you need to find a community. And obviously, if you're able to get out and about to a sort of local writing group, that's a great thing. But finding an online writing community as well is a really good way. You know, writing can be quite solitary and lonely, but if you're in contact and communicating with a group of people, it's a real encouragement.
Yes, because you've used that when you've lived abroad, haven't you, because of your husband not being around and you've had to move all over the world. So that community's been very much part of how you've grown as a writer.
Very much so. You know, I still meet up monthly with my MA group online, and we're based all over the world. And we've got writers in Germany and Greece. There was somebody in Korea, you know, but I think that's the wonderful thing. We've all learned to use Zoom for different things, and we get together and have writing workshops still. So it's a great thing.
So what are your tips for people that want to write?
Okay, well, I mean, I think, you know, as we just said, you know, writers write. You just need to get down and get your head and hands communicating with each other. So even if it's Julia Cameron's idea of doing a few morning pages first thing in the morning, just sit down and free write. You know, get yourself a notebook or just a sort of A4 pad and write two or three sheets every morning just to start sort of getting used to the idea of putting your thoughts down on paper. And I think the other thing is that writers read, you know, read widely, read books that you love and classics and things that are hot, that are selling really well at the moment. You know, just sort of that idea again from Cameron of filling the well. So put good things into you to get good work out. And just keep going. You know, that sort of Beckett's idea of fail better. You know, rejection and failure is all part of the course, but just keep on going. Books are put together a sort of sentence at a time. So learn your craft, keep going, find some cheerleaders to help you on the sort of days when you feel like you just couldn't even write a shopping list.
Yeah, that's true. There are many of those days around at the moment,
going,
or in the last years.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kate, thank you for that. That's very insightful.
Pleasure.
So, Kate, how has staying positive and creative and keep going in writing been through? How's your lockdown been since March?
How's my lockdown been? Well, I think like everybody, it's been quite challenging, hasn't it? You know, I think it's, in a way, it's given everybody a sort of time out from rushing around. You know, normally, because obviously my husband's a pilot, pilot, so I haven't flown for over a year now, which is very strange to have literally stayed within a 10-mile radius for an entire year. It's yeah. quite a surprise, but it's been very productive. I mean, I've been getting together with my writing group, so we sit down and write together once a month. I've also been doing the London Writers Salon, which is a great organization. So you have 2 hours a day where you sit down and write with 150, 200 other writers. And it's just that sort of accountability that makes you actually sit down and get to grips with whatever it is that you're working on.
Would you be doing this if it wasn't the pandemic, you know, writing with 150 people?
No, probably not. Probably not. I mean, I think it's, you know, normally I'd be travelling a lot more. But I think you do, I've been writing now for, 25 odd years, you get quite bomb-proof. So you get used to writing around distractions and around children. You know, Stephen King had that great thought of just putting your desk in the corner of the living room and getting on with it rather than being precious about writing.
Yeah.
You know, writing is part of life.
Yes. Congratulations on being a finalist in the RNA's Elizabeth Goode Trophy.
Yes, thank you. That was a real boost this year.
So tell me about that. Oh, it's not a very well-known competition, I would imagine, unless you're a writer.
No, I mean, Elizabeth Goode was a very cherished and well-recognised romantic author. And the RNA is the Romantic Novelists Association, which it's a body that basically published authors working in the romance field belong to. And the trophy is awarded each year for the best sort of start of a novel around a particular theme. So this year it was family. And I actually entered the first novel that I ever wrote 20 years ago.
What was that?
It's still unpublished. It's called Love and Loss. It's still unpublished and it's in the bottom drawer, but it was fun to get it out and have a look at the beginning again and re-edit. And I entered it for the trophy just out of interest, and it was really lovely to be in the top three.
That's amazing. And what's next for Kate Lord-Brown writing-wise? I'm sure there's a big difference between what you're writing and what's going on, you know, publishing-wise.
Yeah, very much so. I've got a new book coming out in the summer, which will be called A Summer at the Castle. And I've just had a new book published in Germany, which is called Silent Music, which hopefully will be coming out in the UK next year. And at the moment, I'm working on a book set in LA in the 1950s, so that's quite a fun thing to lose
myself in
rather than being on rainy Exmoor.
LA Confidential comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly. Very kind of glamorous, noir, historical fiction, so that's great fun to lose myself in.
And I must tell you, listeners, that what I love about Kate's blogs is the fact they've got lots of pictures, and they're very inspiring when you look at your words and the pictures, because they take you back to a time which is that how you do your research? But that's definitely a great thing that I love about your blog posts.
Absolutely. I'm glad you enjoy it. I mean, I write very visually, so I tend to sort of see the book almost unrolling like a film in my mind. That's how I tend to write. So I really love things like, I mean, you can spend an enormous amount of time on Pinterest doing inverted commas research.
Distraction.
Yeah, distraction. But it, you know, it's great. I build secret boards for each of the books as I'm writing them.
Oh.
So they're not published until the books actually come out. But it's a great way of collating photographs and music, you know, inspiring links all in one place. So if you're feeling at all stuck in the story, just go onto the board and it's there sitting in front of you.
Well, that's a fabulous tip. Your books read very visually to me.
Thank you.
And just a reminder, listeners, that A Secret of Seasons by Kate Lord-Brown is out now. Kate, thank you for taking the time. Good luck with all your writing, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Noni.
Thank you, Kate.
We need to have a plan.
Stay at home and make it shine.
You've got it.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.
It's about staying as local as we can and helping as many people in the community as we can.
Joff continues his bromance with John Walker from the Petersfield Post.
Yeah. You do look lovely. You're the only person I see every week.
Motivation is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Hello, my name is Matthew. I'm from Class 1G at Church's College, and this is a song I spent hours listening to in lockdown.
I was walking past College Street and saw the phone box.
So I had an idea that I'd start a little bookshop, but it's really just come in and help yourself.
We've got lovely Lucy with us and Harrison, who's playing with some knobs.
The real pleasure is in the bass.
Bassline for Jack.
Stupendously crunchy.
I'm feeling quite patient about the whole thing.
Stay at home and make it shine.
Slightly intimidated by being told so precisely what to do.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.